this week on Rewind.
But my son mattered. He's a human being, and he mattered.
Kenosha was the focus of the national debate over race after a white police officer shot a 29-year-old black man. Two Kenosha protesters were shot to death, and a 17-year-old from Illinois was charged with their deaths. Governor Tony Evers declared a state of emergency, sent 500 National Guard troops to Kenosha, and called a special legislative session on policing reforms. President Trump and Wisconsin Republicans criticized Evers' response to the unrest, and a lawsuit challenged Evers' authority to issue mask-on emergency rules. Rewind, your week in review for August 27th.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is a week that Wisconsin was
the center of the national and even the worldwide debate over race and racial disparities and police relations. With a week, just a quick recap what happened in Wisconsin. Most of you know this, but let's just go back to context. At about 5 p.m. on Sunday, a 29-year-old African-American man was shot by police who were called to a domestic incident in Kenosha. That led to protests, I think, three or four nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But on Tuesday night, the protests led to the shooting death of two and a third person being shot. The next day, Wednesday, Kyle Rittenhouse, 17, of Antioch, Illinois, charged with first-degree homicide in connection with the deaths. There were protests not only in Kenosha, but in Madison. There was some damage done to Madison buildings. And the responses, as we'll soon find out, and has divided Wisconsin elected officials. That's the overview, JR. Anything to add?
No, it's just that we are seeing what played out in Minneapolis, what played out in Chicago, what's played out in Portland, is now right in our backyard with what's happening in Kenosha. It really is bringing home this issue. And look, you know, things are still raw in Kenosha. We're still figuring out what's going on. So we have to take a breath about analyzing what this means for politics. But this is going to hang over the election for a while at some point. Once we get our collective breath back and kind of figure out where the dust settled, it's going to be something to watch going forward.
Yeah. And this is the city of your birth, my friend?
Born in Kenosha. My family all lives in, not all of them, but a lot of my family lives in Western Kenosha County. And my grandfather was a long line of dairy farmers in Western Kenosha County.
All right. As I said, the incident happened at about 5 o'clock on Sunday. About 10 o'clock, maybe a little after, the governor put out this statement. We stand with all those who have and continue to demand justice, equity, and accountability for black lives. Now, JR, that was criticized as, am I going too far
by saying some Republicans said that invited violence?
At least fan the flames, yes. There's been a lot of second guessing going on this week about the response from the governor and others. And this is part of it. There seems to be this kind of sentiment from Republicans that the governor got things off the wrong foot right away by doing this and somehow fanned the flames. Now, what I don't know is, you know, the people who are protesting, do they really, you know, pay attention to what a governor says or what press releases come out of his or her office before deciding to go protest? I don't know. There is a sentiment I heard this week, though, that people who are professional agitators look for an environment where they can do stuff. Like there's not going to be immediate pushback. And so to some Republicans to set the stage for some of this, it's hard to kind of wade through all that stuff, figure out who's right, but there's definitely a politically charged atmosphere about what the governor had to say.
Context is important, Chair. Let's dial back a few weeks to after the tragic death of George Floyd and the protests and the violence. The governor was criticized for not acting quick enough, correct? And now he's getting criticized for being too responsive and perceived as being too sympathetic to the protesters, right?
Right.
Well, with George Floyd, it was the protest in Madison really where he got a lot of criticism because he didn't respond faster, according to Republicans, to the damage to the Capitol. Now you have a similar vein from Republicans of he should have been doing more. Now there's this kind of, you have to understand government, how it works. Typically, when you have a situation where the National Guard is requested, you have emergency management, which will forward a request to the state. The state then responds to that request. And the locals keep saying that the state's been responsive to what it asked for. The question is that enough? And should the governor have been being more aggressive and saying, no, you asked for this, but I'm going to send this. Because there's this line between deference to local officials and not being assertive enough when you're the leader of the state. And that's where, again, we're going to be second guessing things for a long time here about what happened. But it's at what point should he have done more? That's a question.
After his initial 10 p.m. statement, about 5 hours after the incident, then within 24 hours, he issued a special call of the legislative session. And now let's listen to the governor and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes at that Capitol press conference talking about the special session call. Please.
As I said last night, we have and we will continue to stand with all those who have and continue to demand justice, equity, and accountability for Black lives in our country. I've said all along, we must offer our empathy. We must see the trauma, fear, and exhaustion of being Black in our state and our country. But equally important to our empathy is our action. That's why today I'm calling for a special session of the legislature to take up the package of legislation we announced earlier this year. I want to be clear, this is not the time for politics. I'm urging Republican leadership to rise to this important moment in history, to put people before politics and to put lives of Black Wisconsinites above politics, and to give this special session the urgent and productive effort this moment demands and that the people of Wisconsin deserve.
The irony isn't lost on me that as Jacob Blake was actually trying to de-escalate a situation in his community, but the responding officer didn't feel the need to do the same. This is familiar violence to too many of us, especially those of us who are on the receiving end, whose communities have been over-policed, whose children learn early on that police officers aren't always serving and protecting them as they should. In June, the governor and I called on the legislature to bring some level of accountability and transparency into law enforcement. And we knew that this legislation would only be a first step towards justice, but that doing nothing is not an option. Unfortunately, our legislative leaders, the majority party, the Republicans in the legislature, although this is not political, these are facts, they have done nothing. To everybody that is as tired as I am, know that I stand with you in this fight for a better world, a world where Black lives actually matter, a world with decency, a world with true justice, world full of equity and opportunity for all people, for Black people who have been dealt a bad hand far too many times. And remember that these things are always worth fighting for. So I want to remind people to please take care of yourselves. Please stay safe. Join me in praying for Jacob Blake and his family, and join me in fighting to make sure that this does not ever happen again.
Mr. Barnes, the first African-American lieutenant governor, referred to this as familiar violence to African-American men like him. The governor, of course, said cited the trauma, fear, and exhaustion in being Black in our state. J.R., this is a nine-bill package on policing reforms. It would set uniform standards. It would, wouldn't it also ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Look, what I'm watching here is, what does the legislature do on Monday? Now, you have to come in and formally gavel in the session, but Evers can't force them to act. So what do they do? Do they feel a sense of pressure to do something about police policy right now? Remember, think about the Republican districts. They're more rural areas. They don't represent Milwaukee or Madison, right? They do have suburban districts in Milwaukee. But if your base is more rural and the police in your base aren't really having these issues, do they feel put upon if you do something like what Governors is calling for? There's a dynamic there. At the same time, for your suburban districts or people who are vulnerable this fall, your Jim Ott's, your Rob Hutton's, do you have to do something to show you're in tune to the issue while also sending a message to police that you have their backs? It's going to be interesting to watch how the legislature responds to this, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, his first move was to call for a task force to talk about racial disparities and police issues, among other things. Now, the task force sometimes don't move very quickly, and that was not adequate for Democrats that I talked to this week. But it's going to be interesting to see how Republicans navigate this, and you know, do they feel any pressure to do anything? Democrats want something done. These are their communities that are experiencing these situations, but they don't control legislature. The Republicans do. What are they going to do about this?
Governor Evers first deployed 125 National Guard troops to Kenosha, then doubled it to 250, then took that number to 500. And JR, you and I just saw the press release this afternoon saying that additional Guard members from Arizona, Michigan, and Alabama, we don't know the number, will be joining the 500 Guard members deployed to Kenosha. Now let's take a look at what the governor said in the wake of the two deaths, JR. We should not tolerate violence against any person. A sense of tragedy like this, cannot happen again. I again ask those who choose to exercise their First Amendment rights, please do so peacefully and safely. So there's no contradiction in what he said Monday and what he said yesterday, right?
No, the question has been, should he have done more on Tuesday? Because remember, on Tuesday was when we first got word that the federal government, the White House, had offered assistance and Evers turned it down. Right. So they thought they had significant number or sufficient numbers with the 250 National Guard members. Now, that's become a flashpoint, right? Because Tuesday night you had the 17-year-old from Antioch who was walking the streets with a rifle and killed two people, shot a third. If he had accepted more assistance, if there had been more troops, could that have been prevented? It's all money-winning quarterbacking, right? It's all second-guessing. We'll never know.
Right.
But the reaction then from Robin Voss was that this was basically on Tony Evers' shoulders and he was to blame for the two deaths. I don't know how that seemed to be a little over the top to people I talked to this week, although there's palpable frustration among Republicans that Evers didn't do more.
Okay, and let's talk about the reaction
of Republicans. First of all, JR, neither of us have seen any signs that the legislature is going to convene to respond, the full legislature going to convene to respond to the governor's special session call, correct?
The assembly right now is all torn up. There's scaffolding and they're doing some remodeling work. It'd be hard to even meet in the assembly chamber. So to find somewhere else to meet, they're not making any moves I can see pave the way for that.
Right.
And then as you alluded to, Speaker Voss says task force will be created on racial disparities. You had GOP Senators Mark Lyon and Kapinga say, look, this is the second time in 2 months that the windows of our Capitol offices have been broken. And then President Trump said that federal support, and I think where there was a statement from the governor's office that will be FBI support, will be coming to Kenosha. Let's listen now to some Speaker Voss's statements, as you alluded to earlier. We have an opportunity to bring people together to find solutions. Instead, the governor is choosing to turn to politics again by dictating liberal policies that will only deepen the divisions in our state. So that was him arguing for his task force. Then you had a joint tweet from Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Brian Steil. It is a tragedy that two people had to lose their lives before Governor Evers was willing to set aside politics and accept President Trump's help to restore order in Kenosha. Finally, Senator Chris Kapinga, who's, as I said, reported that the windows to his Capitol office were shattered. Holy mackerel, Governor Evers, can you please lead? Governor Evers once again has shown very little interest in upholding the rule of law, a key function of his position. Holy mackerel, of course, is a reference to a line in the governor's speech at the Democratic National Convention. Any PSs on the Republican responses?
Yeah, Robin Voss went on Talk Radio Milwaukee Wednesday morning, and that's where he made the comment that, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, that two people are dead because of Tony Evers. I'm not exaggerating the tone of what he said. He was very blunt in this. That's where I kind of coming from the questions I heard this week about whether it went over the top. Did that take the attention away from the governor response to what Robin put, placing the attention more on what Robin was saying, if it was too much for what happened?
Yeah. Tragic incidents in Kenosha, and we hope any future protests are peaceful, no more injuries, please. A suit filed this week by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Order says Governor Evers, your two executive orders don't square legally. So the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty filed suit in Polk County. JR, Polk County, I looked it up. The two Polk County Circuit Court judges were both appointed by Governor Walker. That's part of District 3 Court of Appeals. Two of the three District Court of Appeals judges were appointed by Governor Walker. Thomas Hrues, I apologize if I got your name wrong, in 2014. Chief Judge Lisa Stark in 2013, and the other was elected in 2015. Are those dots to be connected in terms of why they filed in Polk County?
Sure. Don't forget that Will also went to Ozaukee County with the lawsuit filed over against the Elections Commission over whether to take people off the voting rolls who hadn't responded to a mailer. They're looking for a more friendly venue. That's what people do when they want to get a favorable decision. What's interesting to me is that this was filed in circuit court, and it does not ask for immediate injunction of preventing enforcement of the mask mandate. Why is that important? Well, the mask mandate is popular. If you look at the poll, the Marquette poll we got earlier this month, a lot of support for it. I got the impression that Will's not looking for immediate overturning of the mandate. It wants a kind of a, not say drawn out, but a normal legal process to get to a conclusion with the state Supreme Court of what the limits are on the governor's powers of emergency. That could, by the way, take until sometime next year. Because if you go from circuit court to appeals court to Supreme Court, there's a process there. So it's like an acknowledgement that this is not really about getting rid of the mask mandate, which there are people who obviously want to get rid of it. It's more about the theory behind what Evers did. Because remember, he declared a public health emergency in March, COVID-19, issued a new health emergency declaration to use the foundation of the mask mandate. And so I hope we get across that, yeah, they want to take out the mandate, but not really. They want to get at the legal principle, the order. So it's kind of like an affirmation. Yeah, this thing's popular. We're not really that concerned about it because people like it. We want to have a legal discussion. We want to have a discussion about legal theory and what's really out there, like the limits of governor's power, and about whether people should wear masks in public.
Okay. But after the governor issued the Mask Up Wisconsin statewide for enclosed areas, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald said, we'd like to repeal it. Speaker Voss said he hopes it's challenged by citizens groups like Will. And
to vote on it.
No,
it's political. The polls show people like it. Now, there is definitely a split in the Republican base, Republican voters, and there are very vocal voices in Republican politics who don't like this at all. But that's not what's going to determine whether Jim Ott or Rob Hutton come back next fall. It's more these swing suburban voters. And there's a Robin is cognizant of that political dynamic and how he's walking this fine line.
Okay. And I want to come back to Polk County because I looked it up today on the DHS website. We have had 73,138 positives. Polk County, 167. We've had, tragically, 1,111 COVID-related deaths, two in Polk County. Okay, now, let's hear from Rick Essenberg, president and CEO, on exactly what's at stake here. Why did they file suit?
Today's lawsuit is not about mask mandates. It's about the authority of the governor. It's about how we make laws in this state. Our law recognizes that there are circumstances in which the governor must act unilaterally in an emergent situation and gives the governor the power to do so for a limited period of time. But when that period is over, we return to regular constitutional order. And if, at that point, the governor wishes to make law, he must make it in accordance with the way that our Constitution requires. That is, the legislature must pass a law, he must sign it into existence, and then his role is to administer that law. If, in fact, the governor was permitted to declare public health emergencies in series, there would be no limitation on his or her power to act unilaterally at all, as long as whatever was done could be characterized in some vague way as a response to an emergency of some sort. Our statutes clearly don't provide that. They clearly contemplate that there's a 60-day limit. And quite frankly, if they did not, if they gave the governor the power to act unilaterally for an indefinite period of time, they would violate our constitutional separation of powers.
Just to stay with this a little bit more, I want to give the response of Team Evers to the lawsuit. Quoting here, Deputy Communications Director Britt Cutabeck, quote, "Republicans and their allies have tried at every turn to prevent the governor from keeping Wisconsinites healthy and safe. They've filed more lawsuits than they have passed bills during this pandemic. Requiring masks and face coverings will help us save lives, and Governor Evers will continue listening to science and public health experts in making the best decision." Quick question, JR. When Britt says that Republicans have filed more lawsuits than they have passed bills, is that got some potential to be a winning issue out there?
if we're talking about COVID-19, November 1st, and not about public safety, then yeah, I think Republicans are nervous. If we're talking about public safety and the economy, Republicans feel good. So I think they know there's a potential here that this could be a bad issue for them. And if it looks like Republicans haven't done anything about it, that also could be a bad issue for them.
Okay.
All right. I wanted to move up our last topic earlier, but of course the Kenosha and the events took precedent. So, but let's talk about the Republican National Convention, virtual, online. First, JR, let's hear from a woman Wisconsin dairy farmer who told the Republican National Convention that things are pretty well in America's dairy land, a business executive greatly afraid of the election of Mr. Biden, and former Governor Scott Walker nominating Vice President Pence. Please.
Donald Trump became president in the middle of the Great Depression for dairy farmers in Wisconsin. In 2016, prices were horrible, and longtime generational farms across the nation were going out of business. Our entire economy and dairy farming are once again roaring back. One person deserves the credit and our vote. President Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump was elected president, and he knew what it was like to build a company and create jobs. But when I hear that Joe Biden is ready to raise taxes, crush us with regulations, and weaken our international trade position, I shudder. As a lifelong resident of Wisconsin, I'm a fan of the Badger football team. Many may not realize that the Wisconsin Badgers and the president share three common qualities. They are smart, they're tough, and they're dependable. As a businessman, I can tell you that those qualities we need in our country's leader, and that's why we need to reelect Donald J. Trump.
Mike Pence is respected by governors and mayors and medical professionals all across this nation because of his leadership of the White House Task Force on Coronavirus. Mike Pence helped the people of Indiana see their tax relief as governor, and now as vice president, he's helped our president, Donald Trump, pass one of the largest tax cuts in American history, a tax cut that helps nearly every taxpayer in this country, a tax cut that Joe Biden wants to repeal. And Mike Pence believes in public safety. He will defend our constitutional right to protect ourselves, our families, and our property. And he supports public safety when it comes to not what Joe Biden supporters often talk about, defunding the police, but rather defending the police. Mike Pence will always stand with the good and decent men of law and women of law enforcement who protect us every single day.
Let's talk about Wisconsin's role on at the RNC. We just heard from three of the speakers. The State Journal reported that only four of the 32 delegates, I don't have a number for alternates, actually went to Charlotte, led by party chairman Andrew Hitt. The rest of the delegates, party leaders, held watch parties back here in Wisconsin. JR, where does former Governor Scott Walker now stand in the national Republican Party picture? Please.
Well, he got asked by Pence to give his introductory speech. They're good friends. They both served as governor at the same time. They'd formed this kind of bond. If you follow their tweets, they praise each other a lot, you know, or kind of after this whole speech thing on Monday, calling themselves great friends. So there's just a connection there. Governor Walker he said he's not going to run in 2022, but he's been quite vocal on social media about his views on things. He's also, though, transitioned his role with Young Americans for Freedom. So is that just part of that role, or is he itching it back in the political stream and be a player again? You know, I keep hearing that he's happy what he's doing, but you can't ignore that Scott Walker has not gone away in any shape or form when it comes to the discussion about politics.
Well, in the 6 weeks before the November 3 election, do you think Wisconsin voters will see and hear a lot about Walker pumping up and urging them to vote for President Trump?
Well, I'm sure he's going to. I mean, he was at Trump's rally in Oshkosh last week, so I'm sure you're going to see him doing stuff. But you also have to kind of deploy people like Walker in strategic places. You're not going to send him into a swing county and have to make a pitch for Trump because he lost in 2018. But you can take him to the base, you know, your wild counties, those kind of places where he's so popular, and have him make a pitch for you for sure. But you just got to be smart about it.
Okay. And just a P.S. Vice President Pence still scheduled to come to the Milwaukee area on Saturday for the Wisconsin Lutheran College commencement. We are going to see a great deal of Mr. Pence and Mr. Trump here until November 3, aren't we?
Yes, but the school canceled Saturday's commencement speech because of what's happening in Kenosha. So now they have somebody else speaking. A reverend has taken over his spot. And yes, they rescinded that invitation for fear of what's happening in Kenosha because they're going to Franklin to a sports complex. They can be outside and have more space for social distancing. They won't say why the decision was made, but you got to read between the lines that they're worried about the protest moving from Kenosha toward a high profile figure like Pence being right there in Franklin.
Okay, but just to clarify, Vice President Pence still scheduled to come to Wisconsin Saturday. Do I have that right?
Nope. So he's not speaking at the college anymore. The commencement speech is off.
Okay, but is he
coming to Wisconsin?
Not as far as I know. He was coming just for the commencement speech.
Thank you
much for the correction. Okay, I really appreciate it. Okay, let's go to your stock picks. Rising.
Rising. I've got Medicaid. Steve, you were geeks about Medicaid. The rolls topped 1.3 million in July. So we're looking like, you know, numbers have kind of bounced around with COVID, but this July, 1.3, I think DHS said that's the highest it's been in 12 years of records looking at July's. Why is that happening? The economy, COVID. Why is that important? The budget. The more people have on Medicaid, the more it drives the cost of that program, the more we're going to have an issue with how to pay for it. So keep an eye on that next quarterly report and see where things are going with that.
That's pretty intriguing, Jay.
Because you and I have been reporting for a long time that one out of five Wisconsin residents is now getting their health care from Medicaid, either completely or partially. That number is inching upward to 21, 22, 23%, right? That's why it's rising.
Okay, good call. Next.
So Joe Biden, so he has got the ballot he wants right now in Wisconsin, but Donald Trump's getting the video that he wants out of Wisconsin. Well, I remember last we talked about Kanye West. Here we are, late Thursday afternoon. I've not seen a lawsuit from Kanye West on the ballot in Wisconsin. I've not seen a lawsuit from the Green Party back on the ballot in Wisconsin. That could change. It could happen like sooner than taping, you know. But for right now, there is an alternative to Biden if you're somebody who is on the left of the aisle, left side of the aisle, and aren't happy with Donald Trump, right? But libertarians are still on the ballot. Same time, again, we're trying to figure out the Kenosha dynamic. It's going to take a while for the dust to settle. But you're already seeing Republicans talk about the law and order message. Now, and in talking to people, I've kind of heard a theory that better than law and order, talk about public safety. Law and order has a certain connotation to it that can be kind of scary. Public safety, though, can have a more of a connotation of, okay, I want to, I know it seems subtle, but politics, subtlety is a good thing sometimes. So like I said before, if we're talking about COVID-19 on November 1st, the big issue, that's good for Biden. If we're talking about protests in the streets and looting and things like that, that's good for Donald Trump. 2020, the next 9 weeks could have God knows how many things come up between now and then, never really out, but watch that dynamic. How's Kenosha shake out? And where is that in the mindset of voters come late October, early November?
And then in his speech, Vice President Pence made a very vague reference to Kenosha. We need to maintain law and order in Portland, one other city, and Kenosha, Wisconsin. Sorry, JR, I'm stepping on your stock picks. Okay, falling.
Milwaukee tourism. So this is separate from the convention. Visit Milwaukee says they had, I think, 97 events canceled due to COVID-19. That's not including the convention or sports, that kind of stuff. This is like things are going to come. I think it's like $70 million in economic impact. Don't forget the National Convention for Democrats was going to have $200 million, end up being three. So it's just another gut punch for Milwaukee that you have the 1-2 of not just the convention going virtual, but these COVID-related cancellations that are hurting tourism in Milwaukee. Right.
Looking ahead next week, you think Kenosha and whatever happens next will dominate next week?
It depends. You know, got to watch the next couple of nights, how do things play out? Is it calm down? Last night, Wednesday night, mostly calm. I mean, there are pockets of things going on. It wasn't totally normal night in Kenosha, but how do things play out from here? Does it start to fade or is there some kind of resurgence of what's going on?
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Just a programming note, because of scheduling conflicts, we had to tape this on Thursday, August 27th. So I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And that's Rewind for August 27th.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.